Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, let's get it going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on in back again, once again, to the Sports Buffoon Studios here at Lenexa, Kansas, of course. We got the full clan with us. We got JG to my left, Tanner Dawson to my right. I'm Mike Settle here running it. And it's good to welcome y'all in once again. And it's good to be back with y'all, talking a little more foosball along
just
the way.
Just a little bit.
You know, it's the midpoint of all the foosball's actions, right, Tanner? I mean,
it
we're,
is.
We're in the midpoint. Yeah, basketball's kind of trickling in here, but we don't care about that too much yet. But it feels good to be kind of at midseason and get a feel for things and how things are going out there in the NFL and NCAA world, I would say.
I agree. I mean, college, we're on the, you know.
Yeah, towards the back slope.
We're on the brink of a bowl game starting, figuring out the college football playoffs. So,
right. You
know, games are starting to become even more important now for a lot of those teams just to be able to play in December. So
I was disappointed in KU losing last week, Tanner. That was what an upset for Texas Tech to come out there and do that. Unreal.
When you get Daniels out for a back injury still, you have Bean get hurt, a little after halftime? We don't have anything past those two.
I think it ruined the potential of a Missouri Kansas matchup for bowl games. I don't think it's going to happen now.
I don't think. I mean, if Bean's hurt again this weekend, and then you know two games like that drops us off to a mid December bowl instead of a primetime bowl time.
Yeah. Well, JG, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. You know, one thing that I figured out today is that. It's amazing if you can figure out a way to do two things at once. I was sitting at the card table at the casino a couple of hours ago, and I was doing two things at once. I was playing cards, and then at the same time, I was drinking. Technically, I was doing three things at once because they had the TVs up there. So I was watching like a replay of like a college football game or something like that. So I like the idea of two things at once. I'm not really sure why that's in my brain right now, but I'm sure I'll figure it out later. But I feel like if I do two things at once, I can be more productive in life.
More efficient, so, maybe, in your life to just do two things at once.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that in a commercial. I can't remember which commercial it was, but...
Tanner, are you a proponent of doing two things at once? Is that something you're into?
I mean, something I have to do sometimes, so.
Two things at once.
I feel like once I get the first thing done, if I can focus on the one thing, though, I can get it done quicker.
But oh, one at a time.
I prefer one at
You're
a time.
You're more a one at a time type of guy.
I can do two things at once. I don't prefer it, though.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, the two things at once, I mean, it sounds like the kind of guy I would appreciate if, you know, like, I like two things at once. I mean, it just makes sense. It makes sense to get things done more efficiently, I suppose.
I felt better about myself. Like, I felt so productive.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was doing something right in my life, you know? Just two things
and
at once.
And it's probably right for the rest of the people around you as well. So,
I did it.
I mean, you did it for yourself and others around you, right, Tanner?
That's true.
Okay, well.
That's true.
I said I was going to do two things at once, and then I did it.
That reminds me, guys. Have you guys seen that commercial with Travis Kelce? Where he mentions two things at once, and now he's moved out to Argentina.
Oh, that's it.
Was that the one?
Yeah.
That's where
I was like, where the hell did I see
he
that, dude?
So Travis Kelce went to Argentina.
It was Kelce. Okay.
To visit Taylor Swift on her tour. We saw him having a grand old time with Taylor Swift's dad. And she changed the lyrics of the song, of course, to the Chiefs player. But no, it reminded me, when I thought about that, I was like, have you ever thought that maybe Taylor Swift lets Travis Kelce do two things at once?
Oh, you're thinking of like, are you talking about like this, the thing that we did at there? We wanted to do at the strip club.
A few years back.
The DP. The DP is technically that's two things at once if you get a DP, but. I don't know. Maybe that's not where you were going on that, but
that might have been further than what? I was planning.
If that's not where you're going,
what
maybe
did
you
we
can,
just walk into?
Tanner wanted to watch the DP.
I what?
You were there.
He did.
I'm so lost, dude. This is so bad.
Anyways, I hope that everyone's having a good time with their two things at once. I like an efficient lifestyle for sure. So we'll save those conversations maybe for a different program down the road, possibly.
The DP. It always makes it, always comes back in the discussion somehow. I don't know how it does that.
Hey, it's great, great things, man. Great things go on here. Tanner. All right, guys. Well, we are going to dive into some Chiefs-Eagles, of course. This is the game of the week, game of the year, really, in a lot of ways when it comes to the NFL. And then as well as, of course, our National Day. We're going to talk about that. There's a couple different things I want to hit on with that one. And then we will talk a little bit about the current state of the Bengals and Bills and just what we think is really going on with those two teams at the moment. Guys, here we are kicking it off. Finally, we had the bye week last week, so lots of time to kind of mess around and rest up, I suppose, last week on the show. And now this week, back into the grind of, you know, we got an opponent in front of us here in 5 days on Monday Night Football. This is going to be awesome. I knew, if you guys remember last year, my prediction all along last year was Chiefs versus Eagles. If you guys can remember back that far, it was Chiefs versus Eagles in the Super Bowl. It happened. But what I got wrong was I actually said at one point in the middle of the year was that I thought the Eagles were going to be the better team and beat the Chiefs. Chiefs ended up overcoming that and taking care of business and getting the win. Teams are a little different now, guys. Both teams are a little different now. The Chiefs' offense is not nearly as efficient. The Eagles' defense is not nearly as efficient. So this is not the same exact situation as we had a year ago for the Super Bowl. Right now, the Eagles' defense has allowed 14 touchdowns to wide receivers and 5 touchdowns to tight ends. And they currently rank 25th on third down conversion percentage allowed on defense. So it's a very different situation right now. I think they're, like I said at one point beginning of this year, was that I felt like they were getting older, a little overaged, especially on the back end, and then some on the D-line as well. Brandon Graham is not in his youth anymore. And that was kind of my, you know, rhetoric at the moment when I was talking about the Eagles. But for me, right now, the Chiefs are about to face a bottom half defense in the league. That's not something we could say just 10 months ago. Not at all the same kind of team. Offensively, it's pretty close to the same. But, you know, the Chiefs also have their own issues too. Defensively, now the Chiefs are a top three defense in the entire NFL, which is something that was not true 10 months ago. But their offense now is taking a step back to only 13th in the league on points per game basis. And so we've now seen how these teams have changed yet the same in a lot of ways as far as their actual productivity, both rank number one in the respective conferences, just in different ways than a year ago. So, guys, I want to go ahead and give you guys the floor for a second. What are you guys' thoughts going into this matchup of the year?
Let's talk about it here, right? You mentioned a lot of facts right there that I was actually going to say as well, but I have confidence, I can tell you that much, walking into this match of the year. Eagles team, that the defense, the secondary has struggled. They've been banged up as well. You know, a team that has shown, a defense that has shown that they can let up a good play or two, which is kind of what we need here. But this is also a team, the Eagles team, that has come back and overtaken some deficits in their season so far versus teams they probably shouldn't have been losing to. The Chiefs kind of looking in almost a similar position, but we like to keep the lead a little bit. The only thing that kind of worries me here is a big game, a team that likes to run up the middle with Swift, up the middle with Hurts, and be around is, you know, missing our big run stopper, and that's Nick Bolton. Still being out on IR. And I know our linebacking core has been solid. Great fill-in, right? Tranquil, solid job. You know, Chenal, solid job. But I'm a little afraid for this matchup where we might see where we kind of miss Nick Bolton a little bit and struggle a little bit with this really heavy team that likes to go up the middle. Great offensive line, too, for the Eagles. So, you know, our defense is going to have their work cut out for them. Spags, of course, will have his work cut out for him again. But can this offense of the Chiefs be able to out-firepower the Eagles? Can we rely on not getting that turnover that we've gotten the past few games here on these big games? That's where it comes into play. for me. Is can we win without having the Chiefs defense save us?
Yeah, so you're basically saying that we needed this Chiefs offense to step up like they did against Chargers 3 weeks ago and, you know, put up some, you know, you got to put up a 30-burger at least against a team like this. I mean, it's going to be necessary, and we need the receivers on this team, which, like I said, the Eagles rank dead last in allowing touchdowns to wide receivers.
Correct.
Right now in the NFL. This team, this Chiefs team, probably has the worst group of wide receivers in the NFL at the moment, or at least bottom three. Can't, so who's going to step up? Who's going to make the impact? Who's going to be the one to beat these silly corners and safeties they got for the Philadelphia Eagles? Because right now, I don't trust Sky Moore, of course. Kadarius Toney gets maybe 10 snaps a game at the most. Rashee Rice, of course, we all know what he's capable of. Are they going to now have time for the bye week that just went through to now readjust and say, okay, this guy needs to be an every down player on this offense? Because if that's the case, Rashee Rice about to go out for 100 yards. I promise you.
Yes.
But if we don't put the work in for the bye week and you know, get him more snaps, then that's not going to be the case. Like, we're going to be fooling around with got too much Justin Watson, too much MVS, lots of other turds out there that we don't really care to talk about. Rashee Rice deserves to have the floor right now.
He does.
Because he is the best receiver on this roster. I don't give a damn if he drops a pass, you know, once out of every 10 targets right now. That's a lot better than not getting open, like some of the other guys can't freaking do.
What adjustments were made
to me,
on top of what we did for
the
Dolphins?
I'm curious how the Chiefs come out differently coming off the bye week offensively, mm-hmm. because both teams have had an equal amount of time off. Both had a bye week. So both are going to have 15 days off rest coming into this game. But Andy Reid needs to kind of regroup his mindset towards what this offense really is and come out with a different approach, because the approach he came out with for the first 9 weeks.
What adjustments were made
on top
of what we did for the
Dolphins?
I'm
curious how the Chiefs come out differently coming off the bye week offensively, mm-hmm. because both teams have had equal amount of time off. Both had a bye week, so both are going to have 15 days off rest coming into this game. But Andy Reid needs to kind of regroup his mindset towards what this offense really is and come out with a different approach, because the approach he came out with for the first 9 weeks.
And I,
but I mean, what are you going to do? Like, the tush push is not necessarily going to damage his knee.
No. It's
but
not.
You're not going to not play Jalen Hurts.
I'm just the tush push is just like kind of just a small part of what we're talking about here. I'm just concerned about his health in general.
AJ Brown's having another amazing year, over 1,000 yards already and 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's doing phenomenal, man.
The offense itself is just running as efficiently as ever. There's no issues there whatsoever. I mean, to me, I don't have an issue. The offense looks the same as last. The offense looks almost identical as last year, but plus having DeAndre Swift and running better than he's ever ran before himself. Right, Tanner?
Yeah.
Swift's a better running back for the Eagles than he was for the Lions.
Swift, you're seeing why Swift's name got brought up in the Lions to begin with when he was running really well.
Right, but now, he was never this productive as a runner.
He was never this productive because the Lions were never
the scheme,
good.
The scheme is also helping. Well, the Eagles offensive line is amazing.
Yes.
But the scheme is also helping too. The scheme for the
tremendous.
The run blocking scheme is amazing for the Eagles.
But it
works for everybody.
Look what you're able to do, right? Like, in the Lions organization, you didn't really have anybody on the outside you had to worry about, right? It was T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift. And now you go to the Eagles where it's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, You know, you mix in with Gainwell and Scott and whoever, and Swift's just able to make this work a lot better. And you have the threat that Jalen Hurts is going to run the ball.
Right.
You didn't have that with Jared Goff, right?
Yeah. To me, this offense is as good as it was a year ago. In some ways, it could be better. But the big fall off is the defense for the Eagles. And so that thing's an actual problem right now. It's not just a joke of a thing that the Eagles' defense is no longer what they were. The defensive line does have some great youth to it. There is some good youth as far as Jalen Carter, right, Tanner?
Yes.
He's one of the big impact players.
Jalen Carter is a beast.
We're seeing that right away. I think the main thing is that they can beat in the passing game pretty easily. And so that's what I plan to see is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to sit back there and have a field day. And I truly believe that.
He will.
Because when Patrick Mahomes is put in positions where it's a big game and a big moment against a great team, he doesn't fold.
No.
You know, he's not a player who shits his pants like Alex Smith used to. He's a guy that prevails and actually shows out, kind of like your boy MJ back in the day. You know, he steps up in big moments. And so I feel like that's going to be the same situation with Mahomes against the Eagles coming up in this game. Same time, I am worried about the Eagles because their capabilities. What are you laughing about? God damn it.
I keep laughing because you brought up MJ.
No, Starsky is out there. In
Starsky?
The chat. He just said.
Hey, Starsky, stick around for the easy money pick. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
He just said. His comment killed me. Tame of Dave's. Dave said JG, Tush Push, and DP in the same episode. Oh, my God. This is great. And then Starsky says, that diet is working, JG. You look slimmer this week.
We're just trying to give you guys some value, okay? I want to bring value to the show, whether it's my diet, whether I'm losing weight, making you guys money in sports betting or if I'm just saying stupid shit, I want to bring value to the show. So that's what I'm here for.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
I couldn't help it. I read that comment. I just laughed.
Well, if you think I'm losing weight now, just wait till we get to our buffoon topic.
That's true.
We talk about.
We'll save it for a second. Because I have two things about that, but we'll get there here in a second. anyways, I've kind of spilled my beans about it. I also am concerned in a lot of ways because I need to see something from these receivers. I need to see a change. I need to see a change in the offense.
Yes.
For this to ever matter. You know, I'm sitting here trashing the Eagles' pass defense. But if we still run out there and the receivers can't get open, and we're relying on Travis Kelce to catch 12 passes.
And Noah Gray.
Who's better than all the receivers we have on this team, other than Rashee Rice.
You shouldn't have to focus on these tight ends of dealing what they're doing, period.
But, right. What I mean is if Andy Reid spent time this week really reassessing himself, reassessing his game plan, reassessing his play calling, then we should see a huge difference in the type of plays certain players are being used on and the amount as well. You know, I know he talked about Kadarius Toney, why he's not being used enough right now, and it's because he's trying to prolong him for the sake of the season, which is fine. I get that. But at the same time, what's the freaking point in having this turd on the roster if we're so worried about, when we touched him, he's getting up, he's broken. Oh, no, he tore his knee. Like, if we're so worried about that,
yeah,
then get him off the damn roster.
I'm telling you right now, if what you say is true, if their pass defense is that bad, you're going to see a Sky Moore play in this game.
You probably will.
He's going to throw his ass out there.
You're going to see the MVS.
I'd love to.
It's going to be a situation, hey, dude, prove yourself. Are you going to make a fucking catch this time or not? You're going to see a Sky Moore play. Is he going to convert it, or is he going to shit the bed like he did last time?
Against the Dolphins, is have Sky Moore towards the backfield, have Sky Moore more in the slot where he belongs,
a gadget,
and not on the outside.
You mean a gadget player?
Yeah.
Can we wasted a second round pick on?
This is the time to figure these things out.
Sky Moore.
I don't want to figure this shit out in the playoffs.
Is Dexter McCluster / Javier Arenas / Mecole Hardman?
Who's the Oregon
guy? All these turds. That was DeAnthony Thomas.
DeAnthony Thomas, yeah.
It's the same thing over and over and over and over again with these second round turd ass receivers. And I know I said Javier Arenas, but
brutal.
My point is all these early to mid round receivers groupings we've had over the years have just panned out to be a bunch of turds until we had Rashee Rice, who's been a great player so far to this Dolphins. But I'm tired of these idiots being drafted. I mean, It doesn't make any sense. While all these other teams are just getting the luxury of somehow hitting on these receivers that work out. But meanwhile, with Patrick Mahomes, and we can't make it work with these guys. It's frustrating.
Meanwhile, we continue to win fucking Super Bowls with these turds. How can you win a Super Bowl with all these fucking turds?
Everybody
I wonder why.
Like, well, how did we do that?
Because everybody else is good around him.
Yes. Now imagine a day. Travis Kelce is 34 years old and about to go buy himself a mansion with Taylor Swift, and he's off this team. And then how are we going to make up for that loss?
Probably should bring Shannon Sharp out of retirement at that point. Somebody. You need a fucking tight end at some point.
I'm just saying that day is coming at some point in the next 3-4 years, maybe.
Maybe we can get
something in place.
We could bring in Dawson Knox from the Bills. They're not going to do shit with him anymore.
I don't know if you guys heard the after the Pittsburgh game last week. Is it last week or 2 weeks ago? George Pickens put something like, "Get me out of here." And then he deleted it right away. Like somebody saw it.
Well, yeah.
And then
they're fucking 6-3. Why the fuck would you want to get out of there?
Getting out used.
Here's the thing. George Pickens is a hothead.
Yes, he is.
And it was well known before the draft, yes. And that's why he went to the second round, because he is a first-round talent.
Yep.
He is a hothead. I don't think he does a great job at corralling his emotions. But if you were able to put him into a team with this situation, with the way the Chiefs handle themselves, which is with such class and leadership, I think you can corral some of that hothead bullshit that he's got and make him into a superstar, at least for a little while.
I mean,
and that's why all along I've said
that Travis Kelce was, right?
Travis Kelce, well, hothead, but also just kind of a moron in a lot of ways.
That's fair.
He wasn't a hothead. Well, he was a hothead, but
he was a hothead.
Not in a way to where he was toxic towards the team. He was toxic because he wanted to win. Correct. And I think George Pickens is toxic because he's selfish.
All right.
In some ways.
So just throwing
that out there.
We're not going to get into the Steelers, okay? But I will throw this out there, okay? If you had George Pickens, and then you had, instead of Deontay Johnson, if you had fucking Antonio Brown on the other side out of retirement, that might make a little bit of a difference. But that's neither here nor there. We're not talking about the Steelers on this fucking show, okay?
I mean, would we ever be able to afford Stephon Diggs?
In KC? That's probably not a thing.
Probably not a thing.
It'd
be cool.
Sure, it'd be cool, but there's a lot of pipe dreams out there, you know? We have those every year, right? Here's the thing. The free agent is coming up next year. T. Higgins is going to be a free agent. That's always the talk.
Yes.
The current most favored team to land T. Higgins in the offseason is the Chiefs,
by the way. This is a serious question, Mike. Would you rather have Diggs or Antonio Brown?
I would have rather drafted T. Higgins to begin with, like a fucking real franchise would have done.
What? That's not the question.
No.
Would you rather retired...
T. Higgins went around. The Chiefs could have drafted his ass to begin with.
He won't even answer the question. Would you rather have an Antonio Brown retired or fucking Stephon Diggs on the Chiefs right now? That's a serious question. Answer the damn question.
That's a dumb question, man. You're asking me if I would rather have Antonio Brown retired or Diggs on, like, so basically both players
Antonio Brown's still in his prime. He just got blackballed from the league. He's still in his prime.
We're about to end this whole topic here in a second.
All right, moving along.
But the answer is Stephon Diggs, just for the record. But it's a horrible question. Standard, do you have anything else before we do our predictions for the game?
I don't on this. No.
I mean in the comments. I don't know what people are saying. Sorry. I can't see from here.
Scott Cobb says he thinks we see like a 24-17 game Monday night. He also thinks you should see a focus even more on Rashee Rice than ever before.
100%. I like 24-17. That sounds about right. I could see it even being lower, though.
Going lower, huh?
Yeah. I could see both these teams run the ball all over the place, you know. Try not to get Jalen Hurts injured. And I could see a low-scoring game here.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, guys, we do our predictions for the game then?
Let's do our predictions.
You always go the under, right? I mean, the under is 60% for the season.
The under for the season in the NFL, guys, is sitting at 60.6% this year if you were a betting man, which means if you'd be betting on the under all year long on every single game, you'd be making a shitload of money.
I don't believe in gambling, by the way, so I don't fall.
I'm sure you don't. I'm sure you don't.
The gambling man.
All right, Tanner, what are you doing over there? Should I?
Hold on.
What are you doing?
I'm being told sound is not coming through.
Sounds not coming through. That's never good. So is this the surprise butt fuck of the week?
Well, I don't have
yeah.
any errors.
All right.
On your...
This just started happening. I don't know.
So Dave, so I just saw, I see it now. Dave says good now.
So it happened earlier.
So it happened earlier. It came back.
And now it's... Okay, good now. We got good now.
Yeah.
I don't... OBS updated. It forced an update on me. And that was... 30 minutes ago.
All right, boys. Well, we're back online. Congratulations. You can hear us now.
No, well, look, we did do a sound check.
What do you want to talk about?
For the show and all that.
So, all right. We're back online, boys.
I will say, look, we are the Sports Buffoons, and we've had a lot of moments over the years that are usually, just surprises.
Usually I can figure out what it is. I don't... I don't know.
I mean, sometimes it's technology get in the way of things.
I mean, to be honest,
this is a live show. If we pre-recorded everything, I'm sure we could get it all figured out. You know, you would never know. You would never know the difference if we did it.
Our equipment is like we spent tens of thousands of dollars on this fucking equipment. Like, I mean, for God's sakes, it should work every once in a while.
Over the years we have spent.
Are we back online, boys?
We're good to go.
Dave says we're good.
We're good to go, guys.
All right,
we're good to go.
Freedom of speech. I love it.
Gosh darn it. All right. Anyways, we're fun. Guys, okay, so Eagles, Chiefs predictions. You guys are not going to like mine, but you guys go ahead first.
Go ahead.
I mean, give me like 24. I like 24 to 20. So the Chiefs are going to cover, right, because it's 2.5. Give me 24 to 20. I don't even know. Tanner, do you have the over-under?
I do, 45.5.
Okay, so technically I'm going under. Like, give me 24-20. I mean, Mike, you and I have talked about this. Like, you think at some point NFL is going to flip the switch and the overs are going to come in hot. I do agree with you on that.
Should.
But I don't necessarily think it's going to happen this week because I do like some of the unders this week. And so, to your point, I think the overs are going to come in hot. I think it's going to come in a little bit later right now. So give me 24-20 Chiefs in this game.
All right, 24-20. I like that. I like that score. I like that score quite a bit. I think for me, I'm going to be pretty close to you, man. I'm going to be pretty close. I'm going to say for myself, I'm going to go along the lines of 27-24, which is going to be the over on that. But I have the Eagles to win the game at Arrowhead. And I know I did not have faith against the Miami Dolphins the other day, and shame on me for that. I really truly feel like the Chiefs have a lot to prove right now, and I want to see them come out and make a statement. And I want to see them make a statement offensively because I know the Eagles are capable offensively of a lot more than the Chiefs are right now. Big play, explosiveness. But I also don't want to say I don't have faith in our defense to take care of things too. But I think that the Eagles have had their target on us since the Super Bowl. I think they've put a lot more work into it, you know, in the entire offseason of things, of about how they're going to have a strategic approach to this game. It's going to be ball control. And ball control is the best way to beat Patrick Mahomes. And so, to me, I'm going to take Eagles to win by a field goal in this one.
Okay. Lord of mercy. I am looking through some trends here in this game here. Because I'm trying to see more of a betting aspect of it than just a feel of it. Some things that call out to me here is the Eagles are 1-5 against the spread in their last six games against AFC West opponents. The Chiefs are also 9-3 against the spread in their last 12 games versus NFC opponents, and they're 7-2-1 against the spread in their last 10 games played on a Monday. Look, I think it's pretty easy for me. I say Chiefs win easy. They cover the step to 3 points now. Nice. Okay. I think they cover three easy. I like 24-20 Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the same.
So you guys have the same exact score, though.
I like that. Big thing for me, the big thing for me is, and I can't say it enough, Nick Sirianni is undefeated after a bye week. He's never lost. I'm going to use my LeVar Ball fucking argument here.
Okay?
Never lost.
Your only injury reports right now for the Chiefs and Eagles. Eagles have Evans on IR, of course, safety. Brandon Roby's questionable. And the Chiefs only injury report right now is Clyde Edwards, questionable. So,
yeah, I hope you still got a hurt pussy. You know,
CEH with the injured pussy.
Yes, that's right.
You heard it here first.
I hope you guys are right. I'm over here being a little more pessimistic than you guys are about this one. But I think it's going to be a great game. I cannot wait for the game itself. I mean, it's going to be so much fun to watch. But I think you guys, I think you guys are probably going to be right. But I'm also, I know myself and I know how I feel right now about facing the Eagles. And I think that's just right now the better team. Doesn't mean when the playoffs or Super Bowl, I should say, rolls around. But maybe I'll think differently at that point.
Bottom line is, you heard it here first, boys. CEH with the injured pussy.
It happens, man.
May or may not play every once in a while.
Which I'll pass on that. I mean, I'm sure Michael P. Ryan can take care of business with real cock. So whatever he's got to do to get the job done. So one carry. No, we had one carry the other day, and that's all it took. Something that CEH couldn't handle. So he had to stay back in Kansas City. Couldn't even go to London.
So before we go to our next segment, I want to make the weirdest call ever here. Because I really do feel like we got to do this here. Because I'm getting told more sound is going in and out.
Oh, jeez.
Whatever the hell's going on here, I have no idea. Here's what we're going to do, right?
JG's going to go on a rant if this keeps going on. That's what's going to happen.
Well, then nobody will hear it, so it's all right. Here's the deal, guys. Saints and Chiefs preview is finished here. You got our scores. You got our update here. We're gonna get off here. We're going to start a new show for the second half of the show.
Check it out.
Come, give me 5 minutes, and you'll see it on there. If you guys are watching after this has been live, go check.
Yo, okay. Welcome back in, you guys.
Part two
of the nonsense. I don't know what's going on. We had some audio issues, but, you know, that's technology. That's Tanner's basement, you know. That's how we've done things for a while here.
Tanner's at the basement. Are you blaming my internet?
Sports Buffoon Studio.
Are you blaming my 2 guys, gig direct contact internet connect?
Whenever it was at my old place, it was wonderful. Flawless. Never had an issue.
Never an issue.
It was perfect over at my place.
All right, boys. FYI, this is Explicit Lyrics Show. In case you haven't been listening to us for a while, please do not let your children.
If you've never listened to Limp Bizkit or Eminem in your life, then don't listen to this fucking show.
I don't want any children listening to this shit.
Right. So, all right, guys. So we already hit on the Chiefs there for a little while, so that's all taken care of. Our next topic before we get into easy money picks of the week to make you guys some money, I wanted to hit on the national thing of the day because every single day is now a national thing. Growing up, you guys, I was talking about this, like how it seemed like it was like spaced out. We had like reasons for why we have a national this or that. And it's like nowadays, it's like everything has not just one national day. It's like multiple national days, which is very strange to me. That now, like every single day that we live is like a national this or that. And like you're just expected to like eat pancakes or open doors on certain days. So weird to me. Just random shit like that. But today's national day of the year was Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. And I think it's funny that we have a day of the year for this 1 week before Thanksgiving. And so for me...
Right, because you're going
to... You need to clean your fat-ass fridge out 1 week before Thanksgiving because you're about to stuff it full of fucking leftovers and bullshit. You know, you're coming up in a week. But yeah, what are you hoarding in your refrigerator that sits there for fucking months on end?
Right.
Never gets used. But do you have to have a fucking day of the year to clean out your refrigerator? It's wild to me. I want to tell you guys my story real quick. It was more recent, actually, as a matter of fact. But, Tanner, are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I just want to tell you guys my story real quick. So my most recent refrigerator situation happened. Actually, my parents were last in town. So I made a bunch of ribs on the smoker. But they couldn't all fit on the smoker. You know, most of them did, but there was a half a slab that couldn't fit on the smoker. And we all know where this is going, probably. But I put that half a slab away to be probably put, you know, in the smoker again, maybe in a day or two. Well, let's just say life got busy and wherever I tucked that half a slab of ribs got tucked away a little too far back to where now, you know, my girlfriend and I would be like, you know, in the kitchen smelling, what's that smell? It's weird. Something's a little off. And then this was like a week, weeks later, like weeks later from this. And like, we come home and just like, why does everything smell so rancid in the house where we walk in? And well, what happened was, well, I didn't know about this. She found it. But one day, like, it's getting more and more potent each day, it seemed like. Well, it was just some old ass, half a slab of rib meat that was never cooked, that just sat in there and rotted away, that we both completely forgot about.
Unreal.
After it sat there for over a month. And so that was my most recent clean out your fridge moment, where I should probably be, you know, taking out the drawers more often and seeing where I put things here and there more often, that kind of thing. And yeah, so that helped cleanse the area of that horrible smell.
Just so you know, November 15th, National Clean Out Refrigerator Day, encourages us to prepare for the upcoming holidays.
Told you.
Together, soap and hot water filled buckets, disinfectant, and a sponge and a garbage bag. So yeah, so that's what it's meant for the holidays.
Get that. Get all your bullshit out. Get your Greek yogurt that's expired out of there, and your old milk and eggs. Eggs last a while. But just, you know, all the leftover bullshit you got in there. It's maybe some condiments. I'm a condiment guy. I love condiments. My condiment section is stocked.
I
want
to
know,
you have to have a story, right?
Now, my whole life is a story, man. I don't have any fucking stories. My whole life is a story. But the timing is fucking pathetic, okay? Why in the fuck would you put National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day before Thanksgiving, before Christmas? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. You're just going to fucking fill it up
months. So you're not providing your guests expired bullshit.
Who cares?
Just to make room for the leftovers, is what I thought.
No, you would never clean out your fucking refrigerator until January. Well, like, that's just fucking dumb. You should be cleaning out your
refrigerator every grocery trip.
Yeah, yeah. Like all of the United States does that shit. No, but here's the thing.
Who checks expiration dates every fucking week? I don't do that.
We
you guys do that? Well, Kira's a great wife, so that's a different story for a different day.
She kills it.
I don't check all that shit unless I'm going to use it myself.
Yeah.
Waste of time. It's a waste of fucking time. You should do this shit in fucking January. But that's neither here nor there. I did go through my refrigerator, but I didn't do it today because I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that follows fucking National Bullshit Day every 365 days a year. I actually did this shit, guys. All right, boys. I did this shit like probably 3.5 weeks ago, okay? I don't follow this shit. I do it whatever the fuck day I want to do this shit, okay? 3.5 weeks ago, I went through the fucking refrigerator. We have house cleaners. They clean the refrigerator, okay? So I've got a house cleaner that comes in, and they clean that shit, you know, every other week. But we don't check the dates. Like, the house cleaner doesn't do that shit. That's up to me. That's my fucking responsibility. They just clean all the bullshit, you know, all the blood that's running off of the fucking meat that has been sitting there for God knows how long.
Wipe it down.
But my job is to check the dates. Well, I tell you what, man, I found some, we had some bison. I had some ground bison in the refrigerator. And, you know, we've all done it before, you know. All you fuckers out there that think you're perfect. I found some ground bison meat. All shoved all the way to the back, you know. By the way, you should probably check the back of your refrigerator every once in a while. Not in fucking November. You should probably do it every fucking month or every week.
I agree with that.
So I found a piece of ground bison meat. It was packaged, you know, fully wrapped up in, you know, saran wrap or whatever the fuck. And I saw something growing on the side of it. Something was growing. It was brown. Okay. It reminded me of the, you remember we used to watch the Tourette's guy?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And, if you guys have never seen the Tourette's guy on YouTube, please don't.
Don't have a sounder for us, Tanner?
Don't watch it.
I do actually.
But it literally, I found
$500 for the bullshit.
$500 worth of bullshit.
Yeah, it reminded me of the part in the Tourette's guy where his dad says, you got a little piece of shit on your nose or something like that. So I found this piece of ground bison in the back of my refrigerator, and it literally looked like there was a turd growing on the side of the wrapper. It was blowing up. Like, it was literally like a piece of bubble gum. Blowing up a turd out of the side of the
it wasn't,
the wrapper
it wasn't
of
feces,
the bison
though.
Meat.
It wasn't feces. It was something else. It was some kind of bacteria. No, it was just, like, if it's blowing up in a bubble shape, it's going to be some kind of bacteria.
It was a blown up turd. That's what it looked like.
Okay, but it's some kind of other bacteria. I don't think turds blow up like that.
Well, the bottom line is that this thing had been blowing up for probably 3 or 4 months. And I probably should have removed it a long time ago, but the house cleaners never found it. I never found it. My wife never found it. And it just kept blowing up, and there's this little piece of shit. It looked like a little piece of shit growing on the side of the wrapper, so I did throw it away.
How long had you had it, though?
It would probably been in there for a couple of months.
That's like, a couple months?
Have you guys ever seen those shows where they go into these houses with I think it was Hoarders.
Oh, Hoarders!
You ever seen Hoarders where they find little pieces of meat from the 1960s, 1970s, so, some shit like that? This wasn't that bad, but I do believe that it looked like a little piece of shit growing on the side of the meat.
Does it look like something that the Tourette's guy, after he won the lottery, would probably have in one of those pizza boxes?
Not that bad.
You don't think that bad?
It was brown. Scat. That's all I can tell you, man. It was brown. No. So the moral of the story is get all of the brown things out of your fucking refrigerator on National Refrigerator Day, because you might be a little bit surprised as to what you find in there.
I do have some current yogurt in my fridge. If my girlfriend's listening, if she could politely take out, that'd be nice. It's in the back right corner. I know exactly where it's at. It's probably been there a little too long. But also, guys, refrigerator-wise is fine, but the cabinetry, too. Let's think about that, too. I mean, the bread expires every fucking day, it seems like. It never is. Every time, like, oh, I just got some damn buns.
Every 7 days.
It's gone. It's expired. And so,
that's a good point.
Check your cabinets as well.
And it's brown. So, bread is actually brown, last time I checked. So.
Brown, but it turns green if you don't do a good enough
speaking
job.
Speaking of yeast, right? So, my only stories, right? I mean, we've had our occasional cheese mold.
I'm talking about yeast. He's going on another level right now.
So we have our normal fridge upstairs, and then down here in the basement in the garage area, we have our beer fridge or extra fridge, right? I still got beers from when we brewed the IPA like 2 years ago.
That's pretty scary, man. That was longer than 2 years ago.
I mean, we still got it sitting there. It's in the door.
Just I'm gonna crack one open.
Let's just see what it looks like.
See what happens. Would you drink it? Would you drink an IPA from 3 years ago?
It's 7.5%.
Not if it's going to give me a yeast infection.
Well, you drank a fetus one time, so
I don't want the fucking yeast infection. This has gone way too far. Please move on.
That's probably true. One more thing, guys, before we move along from this dumbass topic, but it is also National Drummer Day. So if you guys have a national drummer, throw it out there.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
On the comments. I mean, if he's your favorite, you don't know his name.
Chad Smith.
Oh, he's pretty fucking awesome.
We just watched him do the march.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. Yeah, he's pretty awesome. You guys have you have a favorite drummer of all time?
Oh, fuck no, man.
Nothing. For me, I guess mine, I don't know. Mine still probably is Vinnie Paul, former drummer from Pantera and Hell Yeah. So I'll probably go with him. He passed away a few years ago, but I'll probably go with him. He had the most amazing set I'd ever seen in my life when it comes to drummers. Like, it was monstrous. Like, when I saw him with Hell Yeah, it was like, you couldn't even see him. You just saw literally just a set that just was like a mountain, and it just somehow he was amazing at it. So that was probably my favorite drummer of all time. But I've loved a lot of great drummers along the way.
Who's the drummer on Green Day? I always thought,
fuck Green Day.
You don't like Green Day?
You gotta give a fuck about Green Day?
That's a great band, dude.
Are you an American idiot? Is that the problem?
Well, I did like their politics, but I also thought they had a great drummer, dude. I always liked that fucking drummer on that.
I'll pass on the Green Day bullshit.
Neil All Peart right. is what Dave said.
He said Neil Peart.
Yep.
I don't know what band that was from. I have no idea. Tanner, maybe you could help us.
Dave said he's old, so no, I'm not gonna.
And then Scott, I think, said Ringo Starr.
Right, that's Beatles.
Pretty good, man.
Beatles
just came out with a new song.
If AC's not, Rush. Oh, drummer from Rush.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's
Rush is the fun. Rush is a band I would love to see live. Actually,
oh man, that would have been so much fun.
Rush has some good stuff that I
so much fun.
Really, actually, always kind of liked in a lot of ways. It's not my favorite style of music, but I mean, I've kind of always liked Rush. what was I thinking?
You fucking hate. You hate Green Day. That's fucking
You think
hilarious.
I'm joking about that shit?
No, I don't. I just think I've always loved Green Day my whole life. Like, I have a hard on for that band, dude. I love their fucking music.
Antonio Brown and Green Day.
It's funny to me that you can't stand there. Yeah, so like, if you ever want to piss off Mike, just talk about Antonio Brown coming back to the NFL or Green Day. That's amazing.
How did you not know about this?
We've never talked about it. We don't talk about bands. Times. I've never talked to you about Green Day.
You're joking. You're joking, dude.
Dude, Holiday is one of my favorite. That's a top 10 song of all time.
Oh, no. Last time you brought up that dumb, whatever fucking dumbass song that was. No.
Holiday.
The one where they say
song.
That one word that we can't say on the fucking air.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Holiday.
That was the one? I told you how I don't give a fuck about what they said on that show.
Holiday.
I was pissed off because I was like, fuck that band.
Holiday is probably, in my opinion, the top 10, top 15 song of all time. Oh, that's one of my favorite songs from Green Day.
I'm glad you like them.
Timmy from Coldwater.
And their politics are just fucking amazing. That's the last time I checked.
Timmy from Coldwater. Who is Flint?
That's AC.
Who is, oh, shit. I should have known. My bad, AC, man.
Fucking A, man. Come on.
Hey, speaking of Timmy, we'll talk about him maybe later. Just kidding. Let's get back to the show, guys.
Like, we've only got like an hour left. Seriously, move on.
An hour? No, an hour we left. Already did over an hour.
He's
at this
confused.
Point.
Right
we're trying
now.
To get the show over
started.
With.
Just
fucking move on. That's
right.
The whole point.
All right. We are now moving along to. I'm going to let you do the announcement. The best segment. The thing we're best at. Actually,
are we going to that segment already?
Why would we not?
It's not that we're going to the next segment.
No.
That's the last. We,
no, are you going to shut the
look,
fuck up?
Tanner,
so I can
we're
do
on
this
the right.
Shit?
Tanner. Tanner, when we're I'm doing when confused. We're doing better, we put this towards the front. When we're doing worse,
that's not the order
back.
I had it in.
Fucking Tanner, I told
quiet.
You the order earlier.
Just
you
be quiet.
Shit.
Are you let me do it?
Go.
Be quiet. Easy money bet of the week.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
There we are, guys. Welcome on into the easy money bet of the week, of course, with the wonderful intro from JG, as we have every week. Guys, this is great news. We are getting better. Day by day, it feels like. And I feel like we're
week
finally
by week.
Getting swung back around the right direction. I think we had a little bit of an off few weeks leading up to this. I think we had an ups and downs, and I think we're finally leveling out a little bit. But I also feel like we're starting to hit our stride in a lot of ways as well. So as long as Tanner can finally hit his NCAA college football bets, then we're going to be on the right path and getting you guys lots of money. Because last year, you guys... We made lots of money on this show. This year, we're doing all right. I'm not hating it, but you know we got some things to work on. But how are you guys feeling about this easy money pick?
You know, guys, the thing about Tanner's college bets is that they were, I mean, so shitty to start the year. I actually think he's about to go on the heater. And I think that if you can get on the heater at the right time, that's the name of the game in any game, whether you're betting on sports or blackjack or whatever you're doing in gambling, you want to get on the heater at the right time. We always talk about NFL teams. You want to get hot at the right time. I think Tanner might be getting hot right now because he was so ridiculously shitty earlier in the season on his college bets that I think he's going to go on the heater right about now. So, Tanner, what you got for your fucking easy money shit? First of all, I want to know, give me my fucking percentage, man. I'm on the heater right now.
Easy now, guys. Easy.
Go to the stats, baby.
Woo! Let's get to the recap. Let's get to the recap. Easy money bet recap here. Last week, better week for sure. 3-1. Love that. So, JG out there with the Browns +6. Got that dub there as the Browns took care of business. At a cost, of course, for their season. But we'll talk about that later. Mike had the Colts Pats under 43.5. That was a
easy
money bet.
Easy.
Ten six ball game. That was pretty bad. Pretty bad there. We'll go to my picks here. We got Liberty -13.5. They killed that. Almost won by 3 scores, and I called it almost. So that was kind of cool. And then the Bengals let me down, just being banged up, no T. Higgins. All that news at the time was pretty in the air. It sounded like everybody was going to play, and they didn't. So, but, hey, that's what it is. So Bengals lose -6, did not get that win there, but we got our college bet win with Liberty -13.5. So puts us at a record of 23-24. JG's win percentage is 58. Mike at 50, myself at 43, and our buffoons total percentage is 49% going into this week.
And I gave us a pep talk before the show started today, by the way, you guys, because you know, I was wanting to give us encouragement, saying like, hey, let's not ever be discouraged by a down streak or whatever. Let's encourage each other to propel this, take this moment right now, and just shoot straight up into the atmosphere of our bets and just become amazing. Yeah. Just overtake everyone else around us.
Scott has a good point. Tanner telling me you are 7-2 as your last 9 picks. They don't care. I've already told them they don't care. So,
but that's not on the show. Though.
We're going to get here,
Scott.
We're
that's not on this right. show. What we care about is on this show, and on this show, where we're trying to make people money, matters about how we do as a group. And if he's going to shit the bed on this show every fucking week, then he needs to be called out for it. 43%. 43. Could you make money off 43%? Could you
do that? 43.
Yeah.
Actually, pretty hard. Yeah, long term.
Long term.
In the long term, yeah. 43%. Actually, ideally, you want to have at least 45%.
Minimum.
But no, you can make, I mean, if you know what you're doing, you can make money off of 45%.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, you got to have discipline.
It's pretty tough. But,
you know, everything.
You got to get your plus bets.
Everything is 50-50, right? Everything is fucking 50-50, so that's all you got
to
do.
Maybe. Could be.
We're trying to get to 52. You can get to 52 long term. You're a professional. That's our base.
We're going
to
be 55. That's fine. We're going to be 55 this year.
That's fine. That'd be great. We're gonna be 55. That'd be even better, man. Let's do it.
All right, let's go, guys.
Let's bring some fucking value to our fucking listeners here.
This is how players
leave. Well, because I'm pissed off that we've been costing you guys some money here and there.
Bring some fucking value.
We're finally back. Because here's the thing. Previous 2 years before this, we were killing this shit. We were making you guys some fucking money. If you were following everything we said, you guys would be rolling in the dough. This year, I feel like it's awful having a down year like this and a bad year. And I feel like I'm back in my groove again. And I feel like you guys can be too. So I know you've already done great jobs, but Tanner, let's get your ass back up in the saddle, okay? Let's go, Tanner. You kick us off, motherfucker.
I got to kick off? Okay, I'm just giving you... I wasn't even ready for that. All right, let me give you that here. I'm going to give you just my college bet right now because I got to look up one thing for my NFL bet. Fuck. Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Should we pause on you? Bets. Is this why you're 43%? Is this why?
Why?
I'm asking.
I got something I like. I just got to go double check one other thing.
You need to double check something? It's a Wednesday night.
I know. I'm aware.
He's at 43. What are you at?
50.
You're at 50.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about it here. Very interesting. I love this matchup here. I don't know if you heard the announcement today, but James Madison, Jacksonville, and there's a few others got rejected on their postseason ban berth. They were not allowed to play in the postseason again, once again this year, and the NCAA decided to be NCAA Nazis, as they are, and reject it, despite the incredible year that James Madison is having. James Madison is playing at home this week, 10-0, number 18 in the nation, only 8.5 spread right now against Appalachian State. Appalachian State is not that great. Plain and simple. They're 6-4, but they have not looked good. James Madison just came out and killed UConn last week. Got that, what is that, 4-touchdown win against UConn here. It's a big thing here with James Madison. I think they're going to come out, play angry, play with some, a prove it deal. Like, hey, we may not be able to beat you in the bowl games. We're going to beat you here. If we kind of look at the last 10 games here, Appalachian State's only covered, looks like, dang. Only twice in the last 10. James Madison has covered all. James Madison's 9-1 in the last 10 in the coverage here. 8.5 is my bet here for James Madison to cover the spread here. I think they win by 3 touchdowns because they're going to come out lightning like no other. I can't believe it's 8.5. So go grab it now. While you can get it, you can get your best bet there on BetMGM or FanDuel, -8.5 and -110. James Madison.
All right. Is that all you got?
For right now.
We'll come back to you then.
Yep.
All right. JG, you go, man.
All right, guys. So I've got my ESPN bet pulled up. I don't know if you guys checked out that new app. I'm doing my free bets right now. So I did my... free bets. I'm going to give you my favorite one out of all of them. And my favorite bet of the week, my easy money bet of the week, I'm looking at the Minnesota Vikings at the Broncos. The reason why I like that game, guys, is because it's 43.5 over under. And I'm going to hit the under, guys. And the reason why I'm going to hit the under is because Denver Broncos defense was a little shaky there in the beginning of the year. But in their last three or four games, that defense is really, really good. So their last four games, if you look at the total points scored, those are low-scoring games in their last four. And so while their defense is playing really well in the last four, I don't necessarily believe in their offense either. So you've got a really good defense on the Broncos, pretty shitty offense. I mean, I know we look at Russell Wilson and we say, yeah, he's top five passer rating, and you know, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit? I don't believe in that offense to score a lot of points. So Vikings are going to do what they do. I'm going to take the under 43.5. I don't know what it's at right now. Tanner, I placed that bet yesterday.
Let's look at it. Vikings, you said?
Yes.
Vikings Broncos for SNF. Oh,
over under?
Yes. I've got 43.5.
Come on, load up. Vikings. Where are you at? There it is. Vikings Broncos 42.5 over under.
So it moved down.
So it's already gone down.
Across the board.
So whatever. I mean, I'm locked in at 43.5.
Yeah.
You guys want to hit that? That's
fine. You got
fine.
That under on that, right?
I'm on record at 43.5, Tanner.
Which is great. So. Right, you're on record for 43. Yep. Which is fair. That's fine. You placed the bet, right?
Yeah, I would probably go ahead and do it at 42.5.
I would do it at 42.
I would probably still do it.
We'll give you the 43. Hey, we'll give you the 43.
And again, Mike and I, we've been going back and forth on this. We don't know when it's going to change. But
eventually it's going to switch.
Yeah, it's going to switch, but I'm not buying it in this week's games. I see a lot of unders this week.
All right, guys, mine is not that complicated to think about. I don't have to sit there and diagnose over-unders and things like that. I mean, this is pretty much a pick'em game at the moment, so this is your exact time to get in on it. This is going to be a situation where we have the healthy Rams offense right now. We have Matthew Stafford ready to play. We have Cooper Kupp, of course, fully part of the offense. Puka should be playing. He is on the injury list right now, but he should be playing. Obviously, it's funny we talk about Puka because, like, who gave a shit about this guy until literally week one or week two of the season? Going up against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks team who has been kind of a mirage at this point. I mean, Geno Smith is not having his best year. He's 11 touchdowns, 7 picks, 89 quarterback rating. A lot of a down year compared to last year, I would say. Decision-making-wise, it's been more difficult for Geno. And I think that we're running into kind of a team with the Rams who are going to be ready to roll. They already beat them once in week one. It was 30-13 in that game, and that was in Seattle. Now we're here. We are in LA, and it's right now a pick 'em. So basically, if you want to throw down 50, you're going to get back 50 or 47, 50, whatever you want to say. Either way, you're going to make some money off of it. So for me, this one looks pretty easy to just go Rams to get the victory. I think that the Seahawks have, like I said, not been the team that your record might look like. 6-3 is somewhat of a mirage. Just as the Rams sitting the opposite is also a mirage and a little bit of a degree as well. And here's the thing. People have talked about how, you know, division rivals tend to split games here and there, but 2021, the Rams won both games. 2022, the Seahawks won both games. So here we are in 2023. We're about to run into the terrible twos, which is one of our favorite things to see on a Baccarat table is the terrible twos. Let's go terrible twos, baby. We're going to get the Rams to get a victory here over the Seahawks on Sunday.
That's interesting. I'm surprised that you picked that game. I understand why you're doing it.
But I love this pick.
I would have fucking stayed away from that shit.
This one right here is one that
That's a lock.
I fully believe in it.
It's a lock.
Fully believe in it. Yep.
That's interesting, yeah, because you can get that money line only on FanDuel right now as even. So go grab it while you can.
FanDuel even. If you wanted to take the Rams by 2 or 3, grab that if you want.
Something along those that lines. That is... I got to get to the spread part.
I mean, if you want to get in the plus, it's a good moment to get in the plus if you want to get in the plus.
It's... Where are you at? Plus one is all it is. Tyler, plus one across the board at minus 110.
Also, Tyler Lockett does look like he will not play in this game either. Yeah. So keep that in mind.
All right, let's talk about it here. My NFL bet of the week is not a spread. It's not a money line pick. This is a player prop that we're going to go after here. Right now, you got Tampa Bay at San Francisco this weekend here. If we look at Tampa Bay's defense and the allowed yards they did to running backs, Tajay Spears last week had 42 reception yards, 4 receptions on 5 targets. Kind of going down the way there. You had multiple receptions there by Singletary. He didn't do shit because Singletary sucks. Tyler Algier with 53 yards at 3 on 3 receptions. You also had Craig Reynolds with 28 yards, Kamara with 33 as well. That's insane. 13 receptions and 33 yards. That's just crazy. Look, Tampa Bay's defense is still really good, and they will put pressure on you for that part. I know Purdy's – I know we all know how San Francisco is. We consider them really great. But Purdy's still going to have a heyday of having to get the ball out very quickly. Christian McCaffrey, minus 31.5. Goddamn. 31.5 reception yards. Look at that over. Get that on minus 115 on DraftKings. He hit last week on the over as well on his player prop. I think this week he also hits above 31. His projection's about 39. So I'd say definitely take the over here in this game here for that player prop.
So for the record, off the record, would you take Tampa Bay to cover? I think the spread's like 11.5 or something like that. Gosh,
that seems really heavy, you know. I think it's a 2-touchdown game for San Francisco. I don't know if I'd take Tampa to cover, but I mean, it's a big spread though.
11.5. Yeah, that's a tough one, man.
It's a big spread because I mean,
I would almost take Tampa Bay just because, yeah, like, the, you too. you know how the referees are. They want to rig every fucking game out.
You guys realize
Baker
statistically has actually had a pretty good year.
Yeah, he has
for the Bucs. So I mean, it's just something to think about. He's not had a great year, you know, when it comes to actual quarterback play. But just stats alone, he's had a good year.
There was,
but the other thing is, like, I'm looking at the public betting 86% on the 49ers.
To cover.
And that kind of makes me think that the referees are going to figure out a way to make sure that the Bucs cover. They'll make sure that the 49ers win the game, but for the 86% of the public.
But it'll be a 30-20 game.
They want to screw people over.
It'll be 30-20.
Yeah. They want to screw people over. Big shit in this game. So
you're saying
Tampa Bay is going to cover. Like, yeah. I'm not doing this. Is not,
they'll be within 10 points.
This is not an easy money shit. This is not going to go on my record.
No, they'll be within 10 points.
There's also another prop bet out there I was going to take, but I decided to go the C-Mac route. But Mike Evans there in that game as well. It's only 55.5 yards. I would look at that over for a 65 plus on him. So minus 115 there, over 55.5 for Evans if you really want to get into that game for a same game parlay. So,
by the way, if you really want to bet against the public, Miami is up to 93%.
And it's now 13.5 to
cover.
The current spread.
Yes. 93%
crazy.
Of the public. So this is, dude, guys, this is like,
that's, I mean, a crazy one.
Like, just throwing it out there. I did bet on this game. I mean, it's too
at
obvious.
At 12? You got it at 12.5?
Like, it's so fucking obvious. It's not even. I got it at 12.5.
Dude, 13.5.
This line opened up at 5.5.
Double down. Do it again.
7%. You don't even have 7% of the public. No. That 7% are all fucking sharp bettors. When you get down to 7%, there is no public.
You're 5.5. It opened up at 5.5. Now it's 13.5.
Holy
shit. That's just stupid. Like, all you got to do, if you're the referee, is just start throwing flags, dude. That's easy. Easy shit.
If you're right about that. start throwing flags.
All right. So
get that backdoor cover.
For your recap, here, JG's got Denver Vikings under 43.5. Mike's got the Rams money line. I got James Madison -8.5, and also C-Mac, 31.5 reception yards over. So that's your easy money bets for this week.
All right, guys, I want to make you all some money, so let's hope those all hit. I'm planning on them all hitting. They all sound good to me. I'm not going to lie. Like, listening to everyone here give her a spiel about things, I feel good about this week. I want to get us above 50% as a group, and I know I feel great about mine.
I was above 60% for a while. If I go back above 60 again, I mean, I'm going to get cocky as shit at that point. Just start talking stupid after that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
But I'll keep winning.
Although, remember last year I had won 9 weeks in a row or something like that. Like, I kept winning all my bets. It was crazy.
Good shit. See,
I'm surprised you didn't go Texans.
It's funny that Texans.
Yeah.
Well, five. I did. Well, off the record,
it's minus. Oh, is it 4.5? Oh,
sorry, minus 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah, 4.5 is good.
Off the record, I did go Texans to win the division, and CJ Stroud. I got him at plus 2,500. Should have got him at plus 3,000 to win MVP of the league. Those are really good odds because he's you know, right now he's a top five quarterback in the league. So I did do some CJ Stroud for MVP.
These lines look ridiculous this week. It's just amazing. Yes.
But I like the fact that I'm at 58, you're at 43, and you're like right in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good sample size right there.
You have a 7-point spread, the Jets-Buffalo game. You got the 12-point spread in Tampa-San Francisco. 7-point spread, Tennessee-Jacksonville. 9.5 for Giants-Washington. 13.5 for Raiders-Miami. 8.5 for Chicago-Detroit.
I did go Titans, by the way. Did you? I went Titans plus 6.5.
10.5 Dallas-Carolina. Those are some big number spreads.
All right, guys. I want to get into our last topic. But I also have to really piss really bad. So I'm going to bring up the topic, then I'm going to go to the bathroom. We had to have a pause in our show today. So anyways, our topic is basically revolving around the fact that the Bills and Bengals have both fallen off, and they're looking like sad sacks of what they once were at the moment. Now, I'm curious if you guys really believe this current situation that they're both sitting at is true to who they really are. Is there a potential that they could both miss the playoffs this year? Also, the Buffalo Bills just fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, guy I used to watch back at Miami, Florida, back in the day playing quarterback. And now I'm like, what the hell is he doing getting fired? He didn't do a damn thing wrong. That offense is still top five in a lot of categories. But someone had to be the scapegoat for the Bills. And so they somehow picked him out, even though the special teams coordinator allowed 12 men on the field for the final field goal of the game. So I don't know why this person got fired, but not that one. But also we're talking about a guy like Josh Allen, who has continued to show us time and time again that he is a turnover machine. In fact, he leads the entire league in turnovers since 2018. And I might leave this up to JG to talk about, but it reminds me a lot of another turnover machine we had once with the Chicago Bears and the Denver Broncos, over the past years past. Oof. That I'll let you talk about for a second. But the other thing I'll talk about, Tanner, is the Bengals for a second, too, is Joe Burrow really just kind of a shell of himself without having both weapons as a part of this roster? Because here's the thing. T. Higgins is not playing tomorrow night. He's out. And that's why I'm all in on the Ravens. He's got himself, a decent running game with Joe Mixon, which is the same as it's ever been, same as always. He's got himself just kind of a good defense. Trey Hendrickson is actually still injured, but could play tomorrow.
Still playing on play.
Got a hyperextended knee. But he's practicing today. But we know how that turns out, guys. It's not going to be 100%
about
hyperextended knee. All I'm saying, my question to you guys, sitting both of these teams right now, sitting around, farting around with an AFC who is full of vultures. Right now, we got an AFC right now full of vultures. What I mean by that is, if you look at who's potentially going to move along to the next round, which move along to the playoffs, let's pull this up real quick. We are currently sitting with a percentage of odds to make the playoffs right now. Bengals and Bills both sitting around 35%. Colts at 34%. But then you have the Jets, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders, all around 20%. To make the playoffs, which means they're nipping at your heels, which means you might shit the bed and you might both be out. So my question to you guys is, First of all, are the Bills done? And will the Bengals miss the playoffs?
Very interesting question. I appreciate
Two things at the same time.
I appreciate it, Mike. And you can go ahead and go to bathroom. We are going to dock your pay, though. That portion of your salary goes into my pocket. So, Tanner, let's start with the Bengals here, okay? Because I think that Mike is kind of on the same wavelength of where I'm thinking is like, yeah, we know the Bills are potentially done, but we want to say, you know, as Chiefs fans, that, oh, maybe the Bengals are done. And that, as a Chiefs fan, yeah, absolutely. That would be the best case scenario for me because I know that, you know, for the most part, yeah, we beat the Bengals last year, but there have been times when Joe Burrow owns our lunch with, you know, Burrowhead or what have you. But I want to talk about the Bengals first because this is the most interesting scenario for me. I told you guys, I said it over and over again. I said, you know, AFC North, I am most confident that the Bengals will win that division. Well, you know, you're sitting here and the Steelers are 6-3. Makes no fucking sense. The Cleveland Browns are 6-3. Again, makes no fucking sense, especially when you throw in the fact that we just found out today that Deshaun Watson is done.
Correct.
So that 6-3 on the Browns basically means nothing at this point because you got PJ Walker in there at quarterback or
Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Whoever the fuck. I mean, it might as well be Dorian Finney Smith of the Dallas Mavericks
for all I know. Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Whoever they're gonna throw in there, but
the rookie.
When you see the Steelers and Browns sitting there at 6-3, like it just doesn't really, it's not real. It's not fucking real. And the Bengals are sitting there in last place. And so I understand why you would say, well, if the Bengals are in last place, well, they're not going to make the fucking playoffs and they're not a threat. They're not a contender, what have you. With the T. Higgins injury, that seems to be the biggest concern overall. I mean, it's just a hamstring, right? So the worst case scenario is that you would just shut him down as they did. He didn't play last week, not going to play this week. The worst case scenario for me with T. Higgins is you would just shut him down for 3 or 4 weeks. But even if the Bengals lose this game, they go to 5-5. Even if they go to 5-6, I mean, do we really care? I mean, the Bengals started out slow this year in much the way that they started out slow the year that they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, if they're 5-4, let's say they go to 5-6. Does anybody really care? I mean, are we still feeling like if they go to 5-6 that they really don't have a chance to win their division? I mean, that division's not that good, dude. I mean, the Ravens just lost to the Browns, who had Deshaun Watson, who played very well. I think it was in the second half. Played like shit in the first half. I mean, I don't really trust any of these teams. I look at the standings, but I'm just like, when I look at the Bengals, they're still the best team in that division. I don't care if they're 5-4 or 5-5. Like, they're playing with house money right now, in my opinion. T. Higgins not going to play. If I've got the Bengals, the Bengals can just fucking punt this week. I don't really care. They're still, in my opinion, the favorite to win this division because Joe Burrow has been there and done that. And Joe Burrow, since he came back from his injury, he looks like a really great player, like who he should be looking like right now. He's a top five quarterback in the league. They're going to win this fucking division. I told you this, guys, at the beginning.
I'm just lost on why we're talking about the Bengals and not being contender this year. They're just coming off a 4-game win streak. They lost to the Texans. Congratulations.
Texans are now the 7th seed.
Yeah, congratulations, Texans. You guys look better, finally. The Bengals, I mean, they came off, right, a 4-game win streak.
They're 0-2. They were 0-2, man. Like, do we really give a shit if they end up 5-5 after this? Nobody gives a shit.
Here's the thing. I heard what you just said. You talk about punting this week. You punt this week.
No,
the Ravens,
don't punt this week.
The Ravens are clear-cut the best team in the AFC North. and the Bengals fall even further down.
Yeah,
against a pretty good division right now. I don't care that the Browns lost to Deshaun Watson. It's pretty irrelevant. We've seen they have the number one defense in the league right now, as a matter of fact. Yet the Steelers, who right now are still sitting there high and mighty, even though they have some a lot of troubles of their own. You're talking about the Bengals right now, who are last place in their division in the AFC North. If you lose right now to the Ravens, game over. You're not winning that division.
It's game over.
It is game over for the division,
it's not
Tanner.
Game over.
I promise you. If they lose tomorrow night, I guarantee you it is over for the Bengals.
But you don't have to win the division to get in the playoffs.
But I'm talking about the division right now.
Well, yeah, I don't think they win the division.
But after that, then here's the thing. We saw the Houston Texans schedule, did we not? Houston Texans are going to win 11 games this year.
I don't care about Houston. They're not in the division I'm worried about.
I'm talking about taking over the wild card spots that the Bengals will no longer have access to.
Jacksonville's not making the wild card. It's going to be Texans or Jacksonville to take the wild card.
You're saying Texas could win that division.
You're getting
the Jaguars do not make the playoffs at all.
One playoff team.
That's not happening.
You're getting one playoff team in the AFC East. Okay. You're getting two to three teams in the North. You're getting I'll give you maybe two in the South, and then maybe two in the West.
If you're 5-5 in the AFC North right now, you're not making the playoffs.
I'm confused why we're talking shit on the Bengals, who just came back from a 4-game win streak from looking so shitty.
I'm not talking
Bengals,
shit on
the Seahawks,
them.
The Niners, and the Bills.
I'm not talking shit on them. I think they're going to win.
You lose a close game. You lose Tyler Boyd dropped the damn ball in the end zone from winning
all
that
I'm
game?
All I'm saying is I walked out of that bathroom and we were taking a long-ass piss, and he said they could punt this game, and that's wrong.
No, they don't. They need to win this game. This is still a need-to-win game.
They're going to win.
This is all seed, right?
They're going to win.
This is all seed. Guys, look, you're talking shit on Joe Burrow.
I'm not talking shit on
Joe Burrow.
You said Joe Burrow and Josh Allen are pretty similar.
Can he win without both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase?
He's done it before, dude.
He knows how to beat the Chiefs.
Did he do it last week?
Yeah, if Tyler Boyd would have caught the ball. You can't.
I don't give a fuck. I care about results.
Blame Sky Moore?
Care about results.
Do we blame Sky Moore? Yeah, we do.
Tyler Sky Boyd.
Are a 67.5 completion percentage, 347 yards, two touchdowns, two INTs, and a 90% rating. And you're complaining because they lost by three because their receiver dropped a ball?
Percentage points right now say the Bills have the best odds to make the playoffs over the Bengals.
Do not have the best odds
bullshit.
At all.
That's bullshit.
Right? Current odds.
We look ahead at the Bengals schedule, right? The Ravens, tough game. Steelers is a must-win game. Jaguars.
And let's not assume the Browns are a pushover just because Deshaun Watson's over. Because the thing, Deshaun Watson didn't play that great this year anyway.
He did.
Who
did.
Cares?
When he was in, it was a way better team.
No.
Yes, it was.
P.J. Walker went out there and beat some asses. Who cares?
No, it's still a way better team.
That team's winning because of their defense.
Colts win. Vikings win. Steelers, they probably sweep. The Chiefs. We'll see what happens there on New Year's
Tanner.
Eve.
Bengals are screwed. If they lose this game on Thursday night football, they're done.
I don't think the Steelers make the playoffs.
They're not
screwed. I still think you get three teams in the North. I think the Browns could sneak in. The Bengals and the Ravens are all have it. I believe at the end of the year, Bengals are
the Bengals. Here's the thing. I said
Joey B isn't missing the
damn playoffs. I said that the Bengals could punt, but guess what? They're not going to punt. You brought up the T. Higgins injury. I think that's the biggest fucking smokescreen right now. I've got 72% of the public is on Cincinnati. I think the public is right in this case. I think everybody is looking at that T. Higgins injury, and I think
nobody
that
cares.
Just, I
he was out last week, and they almost won the game.
I don't think Baltimore has it.
I don't think
it. I really don't think they have it.
It's like us if Travis Kelce's out. It sucks, but I think we can still win the game.
Tanner, they're facing
the
number one team in the AFC North.
Coming off a loss to the damn Browns.
What about it?
You blew a 30-point lead.
They blew it.
You blew a 28-point lead. You don't 100%. Think that's in their head right now, and you're going against the Bengals now?
No.
Who blew
Cincinnati's
it?
Cincinnati's
a healthy team.
Game.
The Ravens are a healthy team.
No, dude. I think this game
also
is
also in Baltimore for the record. So
I don't give a shit.
You guys can
Cincinnati's going to win this fucking game.
Yeah, we'll see about
Look,
that.
Look, I don't think Cincinnati's out of it.
No,
Bills, on the other hand, you have the Jets, who you've already lost.
Oh,
to.
Yeah,
the
unfortunately.
Eagles, the Chiefs, the Cowboys, the Chargers, the Pats, and the Dolphins. You're telling me you got to go against Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, the Cowboys defense, the Justin Herbert, and Tua again?
You think we gave a goddamn shit about Justin Herbert? Or two.
I think.
Well, you will hear in a minute when we get done with the Bills segment.
I think the Bills do. Go ask them how they felt about Russell Wilson last week. Go ask them how they felt about Joe Burrow. You will care about Justin Herbert
when we get done.
Go ask them how they felt about Mac Jones. Go ask them how they felt about Trevor Lawrence. Go ask the Bills how they felt about Zach Wilson.
We've been loading this shit up,
the
guys.
The Bills will beat the Jets coming up. They will beat the Jets.
Okay, are we done? Are we done with the Bengals now? Can we move on to the Bengals?
Talking about the Bills.
Bengals win.
Okay. So you guys tell me first, and then after that I will give you the correct answer as to why the Bills are out of the playoffs.
Josh Allen.
Period, end of story.
Josh Allen.
That's fine.
What is your question?
What do you want to know?
13-second game.
One of the Bills are done.
I'm sticking with it.
0% chance.
Ever since the 13-second game, the Chiefs broke them, and they have never been the same.
I would tell you the thing is, the Bills are in panic mode.
They don't know how to fix it, and they're right now scrambling. Yes. They're blaming it on people who were not really part of the problem.
Correct.
Like a Ken Dorsey.
Correct.
When you actually won, you realize the Bills won the game, right, on Monday?
Yes, they did.
They won the game.
Yes.
Because the kick was by Will Lutz by the Denver Broncos was no good. Your dumbass just allowed 12 players out on special teams.
You allowed.
Pause. You know who the 12th player was? Damar Hamlin. You going to go ahead and pick him for comeback player of the year? Comeback player of the year? And he was the 12th man out there on special teams for that field goal kick. Damar Hamlin was the pick. You kidding me right now? That Bills team right there would have won that game based on a missed kick by Will Lutz, which is Sean Payton's boy coming from over there to the Saints. And yet, meanwhile, they jacked around, did some dumb shit at the end, found a way to let the Broncos continue to go out there and put up some points, and then pissed it away.
But you have to at least admit
rinse
that.
Rinse and repeat.
But we're firing Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, but you have to admit that Ken Dorsey was at least part of the problem because once they got Brian Daboll. Once they got Brian Daboll out of there, then that's when Josh Allen started to shit the bed.
So you have to at least admit
that he was part of the problem.
Don't act like that offense changed any. That offense did not
change. To a degree. Is it not true that we kind of at this point are seeing how things are unfolding with Josh Allen's career, that maybe he is kind of a poor man's Cam Newton?
Yep. That's fine.
Maybe he's a great running quarterback. Maybe one of those guys who you can rely on to move the chains in the running game. But when it comes to the pass game, you're going to make mistakes and turn the ball over time after time
weird,
after time.
Weird.
That is this. This is the modern Cam Newton of our time.
And the AFC.
You get to the big game, right? The biggest game of the choke, possibly the ten years, and you lose the way you lost. And it sure seems similar to the way Cam Newton lost to the Broncos in the Super Bowl.
But the sad thing about being a poor man's Cam Newton is that Cam Newton won league MVP and Cam Newton made it to a Super Bowl.
He did. Something Josh Allen will probably never do.
And NFC title game too.
The bigger problem to me, guys, is that I told you guys, I'm pretty sure before the season even started, that this window has closed.
You and me both.
The window was closed. And one of the reasons, and you're starting to see this now, is like right now the Bills, based on average age, they are the oldest team in the NFL. Guys, this is a young man's game. I understand that maybe before the pandemic, after the pandemic, we started having more injuries. I don't know why you had more injuries pop up after the pandemic. Maybe that was they got all these immunizations or what have you. But right now, this is a young man's game. And so when you have a team like the Bills, you're not gonna win a championship. They're too old. You know, you got Von Miller rolling around out there. You got all these fucking injuries. Who knows why they're injured? I don't know. But they tried to go all in at one point.
It was a couple years ago.
They did.
A couple years ago, the Bills tried to go all in, thinking that this is what they needed to do to add these veteran players to make them push to get the Chiefs out of the way. And it just didn't work out.
That's fine. But, you know, the oldest team in the league, the other problem is you have a situation here where – in this particular year, okay, not overall, but this particular season, you have a quarterback where we used to look at him as a top two, top three quarterback. Now he's outside of the top 10. And before you come at me and want to talk shit on the JG, I'll give you the list, okay? I'll give you 10 quarterbacks right now who are better this year than Josh Allen, okay? Mahomes, Hurts, Lamar, Herbert, Tua, Brock Purdy, Dak, Russell Wilson, Goff, CJ Stroud. All 10 of those motherfuckers are playing better than Josh Allen. And one of the big reasons why they're playing better than Josh Allen is because they don't turn the fucking ball over. And even if they do, they're not turning it over as often as Josh Allen is. And that's why I come back to the whole offensive coordinator thing. Yeah, I understand. Ken Dorsey is not the whole problem. He was a big part of it because when they had Brian Daboll, Josh Allen didn't turn it over as much. Now all of a sudden he's fucking Brett Favre.
Since 2018, like I said, Josh Allen leads the league in interceptions with 93 turnovers total. Not interceptions, just turnovers. That leads the league in that time frame as far as turning the ball over. 93 on your own is pretty rough, man. That's pretty rough. That is Jay Cutler-esque type of playing right there.
And you can turn the ball over like we saw a couple of years back with Matthew Stafford, led the NFL in interceptions, won the Super Bowl. You can do that, but none of us are sitting here right now saying that Matthew Stafford is a top 20 quarterback of all time. Nobody's sitting here saying that. Nobody in the same.
No, but he found the right system that corralled his talents for 1 year.
He did.
It made him special, made him feel great and fit what he needed.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing. So what do you think about this, though, as far as Trayvon Diggs and his comments about how Stephon Diggs needs to get out of Buffalo, and that everyone feels like it's ran its course. Everyone in Buffalo right now feels like its time has ran its course, and it's time to flush out and get out. Stephon Diggs is about to be 31 years old and
it's
ready to just move on to try one more team to see if he can win a title.
It's the Houston Texans from a few years ago.
27-0
down or up, and you blew it. And
it's the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien was a mess of his own.
He was bad. But I don't think the
Bills are going to blame this on Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Are we going to blame that on him?
Yeah.
You're going to blow.
You have to a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to blame.
He cannot get anything. Like, he can't just get nothing, right?
Yeah. You're absolutely going to blame McDermott, but they're going to blow the whole thing up. I mean, the only person that's going to stay is Josh Allen. That's it. You're going to start with him. You're going to get rid of all the fucking coaching staff, everybody.
And I think we'll say also one thing to my boy, the running back position there, that
James Cook.
Cook did have a fumble of his own that was legit. Also another fumble that was by Josh Allen.
Correct.
It was a handoff that he couldn't, for some reason,
that wasn't a James Cook
give fumble. To him. But bullshit. James Cook is a light man's Jamal Charles. Basically, if poor man's Jamal Charles is what James Cook is.
A light.
I'm serious. Not light. Like, he's still dark skin, but he's a poor man's Jamal Charles. And so that's what James Cook is.
That's what he is.
And anything, at the end of the day, Jamal Charles had some fumbleitis about him. But here's the thing. We forgave it every single time because he was so goddamn good. And he did have the ball in his hands. We didn't worry about it that much. And he was great at everything.
Yep.
I think James Cook has an ability that it's very similar to Jamal Charles. Just not quite the upside of what Jamal brought to the Chiefs at the time.
I'll tell you this. I'm pretty sure that Bill's Mafia is done with this coaching staff, and they should be done with it. In much the same way that the Raiders players and the fan base were done with Josh McDaniels. I think it's a very similar situation, and it's time to move on.
Probably so. Here's the thing. If they do move on, it does not mean the window is shut. It means you need to now redevelop how you're going to strategize, recreating an offense around Josh Allen that's going to actually fit his skill set.
The window's shut.
Josh Allen's
window.
It's not
window. Shut. Tanner, it's done. Josh Allen's, 27 years old, 28 years old?
It's over.
I told you guys this
before. It's not over. Listen, it's not over, Tanner.
It's over, dude.
Forever?
No.
It's not.
You had a shot.
It's not how this works.
No, Tanner, there's two different.
It's over for now.
There's two different windows.
It's one of those, what's the old saying? You don't. What's the old song?
Come on, Tanner.
You don't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it is with the Bills right now.
I told you guys a long time ago. There's two separate windows here. Okay, this current roster. Okay, that window I told you before the season started.
Yeah, we all knew it's that over. Was gone.
Then there's the Josh Allen window. That's gonna last another probably 5-10 fucking years, minimum 5. that window, it's going to feel like it lasts. It's going to feel like it lasts forever. Because that's all you got, dude. So you throw Josh Allen and James Cook out there, and you build everything else around them.
They got to fix that defense. They got to get younger there. They got to hit on draft picks.
They're going to bring Brian Daboll back as soon as he gets fucking fired.
That Bills team is just...
They could make Daboll the head coach as soon as the Giants fire his ass. I mean, is that not too far-fetched?
Giants aren't going to fire
the Giants Daboll. Are a big piece of shit right now, my fucking bison meat that I found in the refrigerator.
That's not Daboll. That's the GM.
Well, I don't think I don't think they're going to bring back Brian Daboll.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's a Kimmy the case. Just for the record.
Yeah, they bring in Belichick after he gets fired? A lot of these fuckers are getting fired, dude.
Wouldn't that be funny? See Belichick get traded or released from the apparently has a new contract, so they got to trade him.
Yeah.
So,
or retire, right?
We'll trade him. Retire.
New contract for Belichick. That's amazing.
Yeah, they did it before the season started. Amazing. During the offseason.
What I have heard though is Belichick's not retiring. He's wanting to coach more.
That's what I heard too.
Give him 3 more years somewhere.
So what's our overall conclusion? Bengals, Bills, do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bengals, I guarantee you they're going to make the playoffs. And I think the Bills, the last I checked, were -250 to not make the playoffs. So, I mean, if I got to put up $250 to make 100 on the Bills not making the playoffs, I'm going to make that bet, you know, all day long. But, yeah, the Bengals are there, man. Bengals are still going to win that fucking division.
Okay. Mike?
Nah, I think the division is too good right now, or good enough to force the Bengals out, and that's why I'm going anti-Bengal on this. I think the Bills do make it as a low seed. Obviously, the Dolphins Dolphins win the division. I'm going Bengals are out, Bills are in, as a sixth seed probably is
very interesting.
Case. So,
I got Bengals in, Bills out.
I'm flip flopping.
You're flip flopping from us. Yeah.
I'm saying Bills are in. Bengals are out. Like, you guys are saying Bengals are in and Bills are out.
Like, I had the Bills at third place in the division, but they're not going to finish third place, obviously, but they're going to be finished pretty similar.
I'm just looking at the current state of their schedule and as well as the talent in front of them.
State of the schedule?
I'm also...
What are you talking about, Mike?
Tanner, tomorrow night...
What are you talking
about? When the Ravens go out there and beat their ass.
You're telling me the Bills after the Jets have the Eagles, Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, Pats, Dolphins... You like that
Bills got
better?
It.
You like that better than after tomorrow of the Steelers, Jaguars, Colts, Vikings, Steelers, Chiefs, Bengals, Browns?
Yeah, I do.
You're fucking insane, I do. Dude.
I do. I'm just going I based do. On...
Absolutely.
You're a lunatic.
Yes.
Hey, I'm just going on based on what I've heard out
the
of...
The way the Bills play...
I'm you going like on better. What I've heard out of...
To make it.
Unfucking real, dude.
Sixth seed.
Unfucking real.
Sixth seed.
This hey, is unreal, dude. I'm just going on based on... What I've heard out of Bills Mafia, right? So shout out to Starsky, Bills Mafia listener here.
It's JG Fire.
He's telling me that the fucking Bills coach, whatever the fuck is McDumbass, I think is his name. Sean McDumbass has lost the locker room. And the first time I heard that, I was like, okay, so it's like the Raiders situation with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, a players only meeting.
So pull up the water boy. Can you pull up the water boy? Tanner, we're going to fire Coach Sean McDermott right now on the air.
See, that should be on one of his buttons over here in this fancy board.
Well, now we're getting to firing season. I got to pull it.
See, Tanner, you got to have these buttons
ready. You guys remember that?
Well, here's my fire.
We got this awesome soundboard that Tanner never uses.
So you got fired again, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They always freak out when you leave the scene of an accident. You know?
Hey, what a boy!
Hold on. I'll get it. Hold on.
I like the Vince McMahon one.
I'll do it right now. I like Vince McMahon. I've got his voice down.
So you do.
I like the Water Boy better.
You do Water Boy. I like Vince McMahon, personally. That's always been my thing.
We're going to fire him right now, so it doesn't matter if it happens now or the end of the season.
Hey, Water Boy!
Yes, Mr. Coach, for you.
You're fired!
You're fired.
Done. He's out, man. I just fired his ass.
See, I've always enjoyed the old Vince McMahon of, yeah, fire.
Even Starsky says,
that is
fire.
Pretty good. That is
fire good. Him.
Yeah, he's done, thing. Man. We fired his ass.
All right.
Which
well,
one do you like? You said,
huh?
Oh, the Vince McMahon.
I like the McMahon. You're fired. My favorite. The one where he's really
that
angry.
It is really good.
He did
good.
It multiple times it's over. Really good. He did it multiple times, obviously, in his WWE career. But I've always enjoyed him doing the "You're fired."
Do you guys ever bet on that? Do you bet on WWE or is that?
You know what's funny about
that? Is that not a thing?
They were because here's the thing: it's all staged, so like it's all predetermined. You can't like bet on it.
Okay.
But here's the thing: WWE is actually wanting to get involved in the betting world, but no one's wanting to have them join because they know
it's rigged.
Yeah, they know it's rigged.
You're fired.
That's the one.
I'll get a couple. Ooh,
that is a good one.
That's a good
one.
That's
a really good one.
I'll get a couple up here.
We fired him. He's fired.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that is all we have for tonight. If you guys have anything else left to say before next week, let me know. If you guys did not, I know we had the show was kind of split up today, so if you did not get to check out the first part of our episode, which is all Chiefs and Eagles, check that out. But I appreciate you guys sticking around for this one. I know we had some audio issues in the beginning. And so we need to get that taken care of. And we did.
Looks like it cleared up.
As far as I know. I mean, it sounds like someone had some sticky fingers and some Asian sauce stuck in between the keyboard or something. And that was causing the audio issues. Well, we figured out the problem in the halftime we had. And here we are back out, closing it out. So anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining. Hope you guys take our easy money bets to heart because we truly do mean it.
Like, subscribe, follow.
We're going to be back above 500 this week as a group. And
no towel story.
No towel story today, Scott.
Well, we just did the refrigerator.
I know.
Scott wants more, dude. We might have an update on the towels next week. We'll see.
Like, I literally found a piece of shit in my refrigerator.
He wants to know,
like,
did you pick it up with the towel? You know.
I've been using my t-shirts as towels lately, but that's I'm just kidding. We'll talk about that a different day. All right, guys. I'll see you all on the next one.
Outro.
See you guys.